what Acts 17 talks about, doesn't it? You know, the little games and little activities that some might consider trivia. But it's when we apply it to the Word of God, there's no trivia about it. It's definitely something that we are committed to and desiring the Lord to fulfill in our lives. Amen. The focus thought brings out how God's Word is the measure of all truth. And we search the Scriptures daily to keep our faith strong. Amen. You consider that aspect of daily. The Lord put in the prayer, the model prayer that we are to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And no doubt that has a double meaning in terms of nutritional food, but also the aspect of the Word of God. And thank the Lord we're able to receive that daily. And Acts 17 and 11 is the passage that makes mention of the Scriptures being searched out daily. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. That description of being noble is interesting, and how it's described in part here, with readiness of mind. And they searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. That kind of nobility, usually we think of nobility in terms of royalty and those aspects. But when we apply it to the Word of the Lord, receiving the Word of God with all readiness of mind, and then searching the Scriptures daily adds up to the blessings of the Lord that are going to come because of that desire for God and verification of His Word, the authenticity that we want to find in that authority, and how the blessing of God comes in that regard. Seeking Him, desiring Him, searching Him out, that's the goal that every individual should have. It's not an approach that is lackadaisical. It's not something that, oh, well, if it works out, fine. If not, you know, a shrug of the shoulders and just merrily going on. There's got to be way more than that in terms of our desire, in terms of our seeking and wanting. Amen. And there are many in the denominational world who are experiencing even more. So much we see a moving towards a believism that would fit just about any setting or any church, and an emphasis on grace, and indeed it is amazing, but so often it becomes abusing grace in the hearts of some people, and thinking that grace is a license to live however you want, do whatever you want, believe whatever you want, because God's grace is amazing to forgive and to provide. Well, I don't think that's what God's grace is designed to do. The grace of the Lord is to teach us. And Titus chapter 2 talks about that teaching that grace is to bring to us. And thank God there's that power that the Lord would reveal. But there are still some in the denominational world who are hungry and who are willing to change. There's a story told about a minister and his wife who went to a Pentecostal church and heard the pastor just teach a lesson on prayer and early prayer. Now, prayer is good anytime, morning, noon, or night. And thank God we can focus that prayer at any time. But he gave a lesson on seeking the Lord early. Early will I seek thee, the psalmist would say. And so they took that teaching to heart, and he and his wife, the minister and his wife, began praying early in the morning. They began praying earnestly. And as they continued this devotion, this dedication to prayer, they began to search the scriptures and certainly found in those scriptures the truth that will make men free. And thank God they ended up receiving the Holy Ghost. Amen. In one of their early morning prayers. Praise God. Sincere hearts that are seeking and desiring the things of the Lord will be blessed. And we thank God that the Lord reaches way beyond any boundary, geographical, sociological, or even religion. God reaches way beyond those boundaries and finds a hungry heart. Amen. And thank God that there's that blessing that the Lord would provide. Impulsive buying is something that marketers focus on, want to take advantage of, and then certainly in this season, the Christmas season, their marketing schemes are in full blast, and they definitely want people to buy in and spend and spend and spend and spend the rest of the year, the new year, paying off the debts of the Christmas season. Well, and there's a tendency to believe any spiel, any sales presentation. And it's amazing to see the measure of truth that is assigned to the internet. If you read it on the internet, it's got to be right. It's got to be true. Got to be real. and indeed, a number of sources, medical, financial, legal, all kinds of things, and certainly religious, a number of things are presented on the internet that you can believe. But boy, do you have to take it with a grain of salt, and do you have to put it through a filter and know, okay, this is not right. Amen. And there's just so many things that are on the internet can wreak havoc with your faith. And there are people who do those kinds of things. For example, the man who went to CBC, he wrote Christianity Without the Cross, okay? His teaching is Acts 2:38 is presented in the Word of God. But what about Acts 8? It doesn't say they received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. And he raises questions like that and says, because repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, receiving the Holy Ghost is not explicitly, implicitly, however you want to present it, stated, then obviously it's not that important. And doesn't say Paul spoke in tongues, even though later on he said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Doesn't say he spoke in tongues. And so a lot of that teaching is introduced. And unfortunately, we have four families walk away because of that from Sterling. You've got to be careful about the internet. Got to be careful. And thank God that we're able to look into the Word of God itself and determine what's there. Amen. Just like the Pentecostal revival that started in a powerful way in Los Angeles, Azusa Street, 1906, and how people visited those services, those prayer meetings, and went home and into the Word of God for themselves. Just, you know, repeating Acts 17. They looked for themselves and wanted to know what the Word of God had to say. Unfortunately, Jumping to conclusions is the only exercise some people get. And they're quick to say, oh, that's not right. That's not in the Word of God. And they're basing that assessment on their background, on their what they've felt or experienced or had been a part of. And I can remember being raised in a church that was very ritual, very ceremonial. We did certain things at certain times, and there was a direct order. And then the outcome, you know, hours later, past midnight, we were done and went home and continued our lives just like, you know, had always been. No change at all. Just a satisfaction that we've completed our duty, so to speak. And when I was introduced then to Pentecostal worship, I thought, this is very strange. The crying and the raising hands, the clapping hands, worshiping the Lord, you know, outwardly and aloud like that. It seemed very strange. But there was an attraction there. Probably not because of the antics or the activity, but what I felt. And no doubt you could identify in the same way and thank God for the blessings that would come as the Lord would lead us step by step. Amen. Did anyone receive the Holy Ghost the first time you went to a Pentecostal service? All right, Brother Mike, first time you were in church ever, you received the Holy Ghost? Okay. That happens. And we've seen it happen from time to time. But most of us, we took a little time. You know, we were in church probably several months before we received the Holy Ghost. And there was that, you know, looking. There was that trying to recognize, okay, and maybe you're like me, really not that familiar with the Word of the Lord, had read it, understood parts of it, but not really well-versed in the Scripture. And it just took time to assimilate all of that and recognize, okay, I'm going to obey the Word of God and be baptized, receive the Spirit, and let the blessing of the Lord come in that way. Praise God. And when we talk about conversions, there's both a quantity and quality aspect that we need to be aware of there. Remember the Lord said, there's a seed that gets on stony ground and it sprouts up and everything is going good. But then when hardship comes, when difficulty comes, it wilts because it doesn't have root. So there is a quality of conversion that's got to be a part of where we are in our walk with God, as well as quantity. Sometimes quantity is emphasized over quality, and that's, you know, that we've got to be careful in that regard. But because it's got to be genuine, you know, yeah, John wasn't very welcoming at times. John the Baptist. He challenged them. Who warned you to flee from judgment of God, you generation of snakes? He challenged them. He wanted them to show fruits of repentance, and that's probably not what we would call what's the friendly phrase that we use. Seeker friendly, where we, you know, make the way plush and so on. John wasn't interested in that. He was very challenging. And when people asked him, what shall we do? Three groups of people asked him, what shall we do? He was very direct in his answer. This is what you should be doing. And then the baptism of repentance, was very, very strong. Fact checking is something that happens in the media, and particularly with political situations. No, it's amazing how the media can magnify and build something up very quick. For example, now the death of any child is horrendous. It's awful. But the legislators that want to investigate the death of two children who are at the border, this border situation that's going on, I'd like to ask them to make an investigation of millions of deaths. And you know what I'm referring to. Millions of deaths. Why don't you talk about that? Why don't you look into that? And again, I'm not trying to minimize the death of any child. But my word, there's stuff that's going on with their approval. And yet, because of a political agenda, they're going to do some fact-finding. Well, I want to do fact-finding in the Word of the Lord and make sure I'm following through on what the Word of God says and be able to recognize what's there. Because the devil's work, we know from 2 Corinthians 4, is to blind the minds of those who believe not. Blinded minds. What's that saying about blindedness? There's none so blind who they will not see. They refuse to see. And there's a blindness there, certainly. But the devil's work, the devil's efforts and focus is to blind the minds of those who will not believe. And if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, whose minds are blinded. So that light needs to shine. Praise God. And thank the Lord that there is that potential, that possibility, and the reality of the light shining through your life and people asking you, what church do you go to? Why are you different? And, you know, words to that effect. And thank God we're able to give an answer from His Word and show what the Word of God says. Believing a lie and having pleasure in unrighteousness, that's the description in 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 and 11, which also includes the phrase love of the truth. Now, love of the truth is not just a doctrinal statement that we need to grab a hold of and say, oh, okay, I need to have a love of the truth. There's a quality that is established there with that love of the truth, and it has to do with salvation. That's how strong that verse. Let's take a moment to look at that, Brother Aaron, if you'd put that up for us, please. 2 Thessalonians 2, and I believe it's verse 11. Love of the truth. We often say, stated in this way, love for the truth. Well, oh, I'm sorry, back up to verse 10. Verse 10, notice it says, they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. If love of the truth brings about salvation, then we recognize how vital it is, how important it is, love of the truth. And that that quality in our conversion, that recognition of how important truth is basic to salvation. And thank God there's that power of the Lord that we're able to receive. Unfortunately, much of the world today is going to pick and choose out of the Word of the Lord. And oftentimes, the only scripture they read is sayings that they see on a plaque or a bookmark or anything like that. W.C. Fields was a comedian back in the early 1900s, and on his deathbed, was found to be thumbing through the Bible. Now, whether or not it happened, I don't know. And W.C. Fields' lifestyle probably did not have him thumbing through the Bible. But anyway, this is the story. On his deathbed, he's thumbing through the Bible, and a friend stopped in and asked him, "What are you doing?" And he held the Bible in his hands, and he's looking through it. And he said, "I'm looking for loopholes." And that's pretty much the attitude of many, wanting to find, where's there a loophole? Where can I get in a much easier, convenient, and yet authentic way? Well, looking for loopholes is not what the Lord wants you to do in searching the Scriptures daily. It's looking for truth, looking for a foundation, looking for a rock to stand on. Praise God. He brought us out of the miry clay, put our feet upon the rock to stay, and thank God that's where we can understand how powerful the word of the Lord is. Hebrews 4 and 12 brings out how the word of the Lord is alive and powerful. I want to read that passage in another translation. Sister Glover, if you'd grit Hebrews 4 and 12 in one of the newer translations. Thank God that the Word of God is alive and powerful. Not some dusty old volume in a forgotten and obscure part of the library, but something powerful and real that we can have today, all right?
For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires.
Now, that cutting, you know, the joints and marrow and making that division in that way is simply to show how powerful the Word of God is to be piercing, to let light shine in the darkest corner and let there be changes. And read the last phrase again as far as the impact on the heart. All right. That's what the Word of God is able to produce, a change in that manner, in that kind of revelation, and which results in conversion. It results in the Word of God making a difference in our lives. Now, we mentioned online, and we mentioned the Internet in somewhat of a negative connotation. It can be a tool. It can be beneficial. It can be something that is very advantageous. You know, there's very real possibility of connecting with somebody on the other side of the world and telling them about Jesus' name baptism and the Word of God and sharing material with them, you know, directing them to articles online and aspects of truth that are contained in books and in writings, as well as the Word of God, and seeing them come to an understanding of Jesus' name baptism and being changed. Praise God. That's happening. It's taking place. In fact, in Quebec, I haven't heard the figures lately, but in Quebec there's an outreach to Muslim nations, and Muslims are being converted, and to hundreds are being able to find that message and that outreach online, and be baptized in the name of Jesus and receive the Holy Ghost. Praise God! So it can be a powerful tool. It can be used in the right way. Praise God. And thank the Lord for those who would invest their efforts to present those materials and those who would receive it in sincerity and desire to look at it and receive those blessings from the Lord that would come forth. Now, here's some fill-ins for you, and maybe you've worked ahead there and see how you could fill it in. The Word of God is for a map that will bring you through the journey of life. And the Bible will carry you through all the aspects of life. From your youth, it will keep you pure. In your marriage, it'll keep you caring. In parenting, it will give you patience. Amen. And certainly those are areas of great need. And praise God, it'll keep you all through your years and give you hope. Amen. Reading through the Word of God is like a journey. Amen. And I thank God for it. You know, Romans 15 just popped into my mind. Let's turn there for just a minute. So, Romans 15 and 4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And the patience and comfort of the Scriptures give hope. And then drop down to verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So we combine all of the aspects that the Lord makes available through His Word and the experiences of His Word. There's no way that victory can be excluded. There's power that the Lord will reveal that we can continue on as we search the Scriptures. Praise God. Now, imagine you're in the airport. You're getting ready for a trip to a warmer place down south somewhere. And you're on vacation. You're going to see loved ones, you're going to meet up with friends, and you've got a cruise or all-inclusive resort that you're going to stay a week at, and so on, and all the excitement of going to that place. But the announcement is made as you're waiting at the gate. We were experiencing some electronic difficulty. The panel for the pilots is short-circuited. The GPS is not working. The altimeter is not working. The radio is not working. But we're going to go because I know how important this trip is to you. And so we'll be boarding here shortly. Would you get on board? Well, that panel is very important. I don't have an instrument rating. Brother Farmer was one. The instructor told him, you're one of the oldest. In fact, you are the oldest student that I've had get an instrument rating. It's really a hard rating to get. In fact, I've had people say that it is the hardest rating to get because of all of the stuff that you've got to do. You know, to have a full panel makes for flying by instrument very, very helpful. But the fact is there are electronic failures, and the instructor will put a blank over the top of that instrument and then have you fly. And then he'll take another one and put it over another instrument and say, okay, now you've lost both of those instruments. Now what are you going to do? Then he'll take a third one and put it over so that you're ready. You're ready. But those instruments are very important. And, it would be very, very hard to fly in instrument conditions without those instruments or without the training in those instruments. But yet, on the most important part of life, the most important journey of life, there are people who will just throw the manual away or disregard it and feel like, I'll make it on my instincts. I'll make it on the opinions of others. I'll make it on advice from the internet. And think that that's the way to go. But no, life is not a guessing game. The word of the Lord, the confirmation of the Spirit, the Spirit alive and powerful, or the Word alive and powerful, working in conjunction with the Spirit, those are so important to be able to fulfill God's direction and plan for us. You can't wander aimlessly and expect to find what you're looking for. It's just not going to work. And the same way in flying a plane, you can't wander aimlessly. Your resources in fuel and places to land and so on are limited. But the Lord has given us the map in His Word, the map of life. And to disregard that Word is to devastate life. And for a pilot to disregard his instruments and say, well, we're going anyway. We've lost several of our navigational aids, but we're going to go anyway. And that kind of advice to youth, you know, just go fly, just go be free, and it'll all work out. You know, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. There's initials that all pilots have a great respect for, and even, yea, a fear of receiving a phone call from the FAA. Brother Blackshear was very keen on training new pilots and was aware of opportunities to buy aircraft that could be used in training. He found a Cessna 150, a little two-seater, real common in training. That's what I trained in, and had an opportunity to buy one in Dillingham. So he flew to pick up Brother Hall. They flew to Dillingham, and they were picking up that 150. Well, you have to talk to the tower. You have to talk to control, and if there's no tower, you still have to talk to the FAA or flight service. And for some reason, Brother Hall forgot the number on the plane. And it usually is on a placard on the panel, usually a small brass placard that's got the number, you know, November 6165 whiskey or whatever it is. He didn't look for it. He opened the door. The engine's running. He opened the door. He leaned himself out and tried to read the number down the fuselage. All this while the mic is keyed. It's November. And he's looking and the wind noise and so on. They got to King Salmon and they got the call. Come to the tower, please. Because the FAA has rules, and you can't just do anything you want. You see the contrails of the jets going over. You see them going in the exact same route every time. They don't deviate all over the place, you know, and sightsee. And oh, let's run up to Denali and take a look. No, they're flying exactly the same places, because there are navigational aids in those places, in Homer, in Kenai, in Sparvon, in King Salmon, and there are airways, just like highways, there are airways, and you don't deviate from those. You just don't decide, oh, let's go fly over Lake Iliamna and see one of the largest lakes in North America, and then let's go down and look at some of the volcanoes on the Alaska Peninsula. There's a whole bunch of them down there. Yeah, it would be fun to see. Nope. Not if you're flying a commercial airline. And you see those contrails going straight and true. And you can pretty much imagine, all right, they're going to fly over the VOR at Homer, or they're going to fly over the one in Kenai, or going to fly over the one in King Salmon. Then they're going to make a turn, and they're going to fly to the next one, because those are airways that they have to stay on. Oh, if people could treat the Word of God and with those that same respect and that same desire for direction. That's the important thing. Amen. And thank God the Lord opens our understanding. Look at Luke 24 and 45. Someone get Luke 24 and 45 for me real quick here. The Lord opens our understanding. And just like a pilot has got instruments, his panel's got all kinds of gauges and dials, and there's communication with the tower. When you're beyond the airport, you still have communication with an area called control, and those radios work real good for a long ways, and they tell you. They tell you what to do. All right? Luke 24 and 45, you got it?
And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures.
He opened their understanding. These are those guys that are walking on the road to Emmaus. And they're the ones that had the Bible study from the Lord. That must have been amazing in terms of the Christ. And who the Christ is, and he is the resurrected Christ. He opened their understanding. I believe, now these are people that have walked with the Lord for, you know, for a long time. They've served God in their efforts, and they're discussing the crucifixion, the burial of the Lord. They haven't quite grasped the resurrection yet. There's been talk about it. And so on. And the Lord opens their understanding. I want the Lord to do that for me. Yes. Amen. Not that there would be something different than Acts 2:38. No. So that there would be a greater application of what Acts 2:38 represents. Amen. Because, again, remember, it's just a birth. There's a whole lot of life that's got to come after that and open my understanding of how to fulfill the Word of God stage by stage, step by step, and fulfill His plan is definitely what He desires to do. And thank God, by diligent pursuit of the things of God, we can present ourselves a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Praise God. To be unskilled in the Word of God means an immaturity, means a lack. Maturity comes in life when a person has learned to apply the Scriptures. Amen. To put them into action. The Word of God helps us and illuminates, you know, that the blinded minds that we talked about earlier from 2 Corinthians 4, that passage goes on to talk about how the Lord caused His light to shine in our hearts, to shine in the face of Jesus Christ. And thank God that illumination is there. Psalm 119:105, the word is light to my path, a lamp to my feet, a path that's, you know, farther down, and a lamp that may be right here in my immediate area. Praise God. And the Lord does that. You know, we sing that chorus, the B-I-B-L-E, or children would sing it, and maybe we should sing it even as adults, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I'll stand on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. I've seen that used as an acronym, and the acronym is Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth. I think that's pretty applicable, isn't it? Basic instruction before leaving Earth. And how we've got to follow that instruction to let the Word of God be a guidebook for effective living and to open up the possibilities of knowing Him in an even greater measure, understanding Him and His Word. You know, we talk about the Word of God. That needs to bring us closer to the God of the Word and to let us internalize it even more and to understand God's Word. All right. Let's talk about electronic devices. Let's talk about what's available there, because again, the internet is definitely used by the devil and his purposes to the tune of billions of dollars. But there's also some tools that become effective for us. You know, the paper concordances. We used to say there's Cruden's for the crude and Strong's for the strong, and there was a third one. I can't remember now. Which one? Young's for the young. You're right. That's what we used to say. Cruden's for the crude, Young's for the young, and Strong's for the strong. Well, there's a whole bunch of electronic aids that are available now. What are some of the ones that you've used? Some of the concordances that you've found in Scripture, or found on the internet, rather, that have helped you with the Scripture. I use Bible Gateway a lot now. Bible Gateway is a good one. All right, you have Strong's, and it's still, and it's the printed form on the internet. Very good. To look at the Greek, to look at the Hebrew, and to use it as a concordance as to how many times that word appears in Scripture or whatever that you might be talking about. Has anybody used Blue Letter Bible? Okay, Sister Sharon, you have. What advantages are found in it? Besides looking up the word doctrine and finding all the occurrences of the word doctrine, what else is available there? Do you? Okay. All right, good. So a lot of these resources will have Bible dictionaries. In Bible school, we used ISBE a lot. That was the resource that I went to a lot, International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, and they'll connect you with that, and so there's commentaries, there's dictionaries, there's the Hebrew Greek resources. It's amazing what's available there. eSword.net is another one that is a possibility. So look and see what's there, and certainly what's in the back of your Bible is a good resource, but wow, very limited. And you go electronic and online, it's amazing what is there and how you're able to find more and more of what might be available. So do some exploring. Do some checking out. Brother Farmer uses Olive Tree, and he showed me how he'll put things together there for scriptures for his word. Amen. AJ, what have you found to be very helpful? You lose Olive Tree as well? Okay. So, again, the resources that are there. What else besides looking up verses or looking up words do you find on Olive Tree? Okay. Right. Good. And the versions are helpful. Now, we're King James Version dyed in the wool. We know that. That's the authorized version. That's what we're going to stay with. But to be able to read, like English Standard Version, New Life Translation, be able to compare is just a handy tool, and be able to understand perhaps a little bit more. There's treasury of scripture knowledge, and it's a cross reference tool, as well as looking up, you know, a word and seeing how many aspects are there of that word. And Bible Gateway, if you're looking for a verse, for example, we're going to be judged by the word of the Lord, and you're remembering the words that I speak, you know, shall you? And so you're trying to remember that verse, and so you put in judged, or you put in words, or you, and you're trying to find it, and finally you narrow it down. Okay, John 12:48 is where the Lord said his word is going to judge us. Ah, so I better stick with the word. And it's just handy to be able to determine that. Okay, our time is gone. So thank the Lord for the word of God. And we can search it. We can find it. We can devote ourselves to it. And we could use the tools that are available for us to be able to learn more and more of what's there. Praise God. So thank God for his word. We want to continue praying for Brother Merle. Thank the Lord, the healing.